will Pope Francis clarify his statements on civil union, legal protection for civil union? I'm here today with my friend, Alexander Chugwell of the St. Boniface Institute. You remember him 1 year ago when he and his comrade, let me turn off my sound here, something's coming through. He and his comrade, his friend, his colleague, threw the Pacha idols into the river. That was just 1 year ago. And here we are a year later with the Pope calling for civil union. So today we're going to talk about the latest action that Alexander had done. They unfurled a sign in St. Peter's Square saying, "Holy Father, we ask for clarification on civil unions." Alexander Chugwell, welcome back.
Yes, hello. Thank you that I can be on the show again. Hope you're fine. Last time we talked to each other on the show, I think, was before the corona crisis. So thank you for the invitation.
Yes. Well, actually, no. I think we spoke before the corona crisis, and then we spoke after you had corona.
You're right. We had it once after the corona. You're right. Yeah. In the middle of it. Yeah. You're
true. And I've had corona since we spoke.
Oh, really? Yes. Congratulations.
Yeah. I didn't have it as bad as you, but I had it.
Yeah.
And all recovered now. So, well, very good. We have a lot to talk about today. This new civil unions thing, it's a real punch in the gut. And we'll talk about the Pachamamas, and we'll talk about this Mother Earth Pacha coin that Pope Francis in the Vatican City instituted. And also, I wasn't going to plan on this, but before we went live, Alexander said how he'd like to talk about the way Europeans and Austrians are looking at the U.S. election and Donald Trump. I think it's going to be pretty interesting, too. So we're going to pray the Our Father, the Pater Noster. And Alexander, you're going to pray the second half, right?
Of course.
All right. Oremus. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Amen.
Pater Noster, qui es in Caeli, sanctificetur nomen Tuum, adveniat regnum Tuum, fiat voluntas Tua, sicut in cielo et in terra.
Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis hodie, debita nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos debitibus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo.
Amen. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti.
Amen.
Amen. I love hearing all the different accents in Latin. It's great. You know where you hear a lot of that is Sancta Trinita, the FSSP church in Rome.
Yes,
it's
that's
awesome.
True.
It's great. Okay, so recently, Alexander Chugwell, you and a group of young Austrians, were they all Austrians?
Mainly. So we had a few Germans on the board too, but everyone was German-speaking, mm-hmm. and most of them were Austrians, yes.
Good. And y'all unfurled a sign saying, "Holy yes. Father, we ask for, is it clarity. Further clarification?"
Clarity it was, yes.
Yes.
Clarification was too long for the banner.
Right. I'll put it on the screen there. There's the banner. Everyone can see it. "Holy Father, we ask for clarity on same-sex union." So I'm going to run this little film here for people to see kind of how it looked, and then we'll talk about it. So stand by. Let me run the clip here. Oh, let's see. Is this the right thing? No, it's not. It's Twitter. Let me fix this. It's showing me Twitter. I want to show Safari. There we go. Here we go. Okay. So here you can see all the young people walking. You could walking towards St. Peter's, and we'll run. Here it goes.
Thank you.
Okay, very good. All right, so what was the response, Alexander?
Yes, so the response was actually wonderful. We announced it only to a few friends before, and then we asked some media to join us there so that it gets enough coverage. And the coverage was fantastic, I have to say. And the response was also fantastic up until now. It's very interesting because, of course, many people now say it was not hard enough, the message, and others say the message was too hard, as we should not confront the Pope on St. Peter's Square with something. So I think we got exactly the middle, and this is what we wanted here, because the middle brings us the most attention, and the attention should not be on us, but rather on the banner. And this was really a big success. I can talk a little bit about how it all actually started. We had this terrible interview, or whatever the interview exactly was, of Pope Francis about how gay people should be have a loving family, and that there should be civil unions introduced in the countries of the world. And then there was this big debate going on Wednesday and Thursday about what exactly he said and what exactly he did not say. And it happened what always happens since the beginning of this pontificate, that we did not get any clarity, any clarification from the Holy Father or the Vatican itself. It was just media speculation back and forth. Then on Thursday, we had an action in Vienna. If there's enough time, I don't think so. We could talk about it later, but it's not so important for international people. And then we decided Thursday evening, well, the only possibility to push a little bit the Vatican, and especially Pope Francis himself, is to go there and to ask him directly. So this was our plan. On Friday night we started. It was Friday, maybe a little bit less than an hour before midnight. We started with the VW bus from Vienna, went to directly to Rome through the night. We have two drivers changing, so was a good drive. And then we arrived in Rome, had a private mass celebrated on the feast of the Archangel of Saturday, on Saturday. And after this private mass, we prepared, went to Castel Sant'Angelo. Then I gave a few interviews there. We discussed how exactly it all is going to place, it all should happen. And we went one way to St. Peter's. The ones who did not hold the banner, so he who were not the ones holding the banner, gathered on the Vatican part of St. Peter's Square, with distance to each other, so that nobody can say we want to, spread the disease, very famous Wuhan virus, corona disease. And then after that, the ones who were prepared to hold the banner, and just unfolded the banner very calm, in a very, very, very moderate way. And then we were standing there, and our idea was that the police will take us away the banner, will ask us to put it down within the first minute. But quite the contrary, we could hold it up for more than 10 minutes, I think. It was fantastic. We were standing there, many media cover, they all took pictures of us, they all wrote, they all, and then police got more and more and more. And at the end, one of them took all his courage and told us, yeah, well, please now put it down. And we said, give us a few more minutes. And they said, oh, okay, but please, please put it down. And then we already had it on display for quite a long time. So we said, yeah, well, okay, why not? We didn't want to have any fight with the police, because the police is not part of this. They were very kind, very professional. And so we put down the banner, and then all of us joined the rest of the praying people on St. Peter's Square and knelt down in silent prayer for about half an hour. And after this half an hour, we all stood up and were singing the Salve Regina all together. And after the Salve Regina, which was beautiful, because the first half of the day it was raining in Rome, and the second half the sun came up, and it was just a beautiful afternoon. And the sun was right behind St. Peter's, and was shining its last shines on us. And then we're singing the Salve Regina, and a priest was there, with three priests present, very courageous priests, and he then prayed the Angelus with us. And after the Angelus, we ended the prayer, and then the whole young group who was joining me, I would say about 15 Austrians and Germans, and 50 and 50 altogether, with the few from Rome we could ask to come and join us. So it was quite a good group. And then we just packed our things, went to the bus, and prepared our way home. stayed for one night in Rome, had the Mass on Sunday morning, and then started, and with only one stop, we went straight back to Vienna. So this was the action, and the reaction was wonderful, because not only the media coverage was quite professional, so the message was in the center, that's always the most important thing. Second of all, there was an interviewer from Il Messaggero, that's the newspaper the Pope reads himself in paper every day, and they made an interview with me. And what they told me, I think it was published today or tomorrow it is published, and so the Holy Father himself will read this interview, and I think that's very good. And that's a great success. And even though, unfortunately, I do not believe that he will give us clarity or a bigger clarification, we as laymen did what we could do. We went there. We did it in a very, very polite way. We did not want to. We did not want to make any the situation worse. We just wanted the situation to be clear. And so now, I think it would be the time that from the Vatican and from the Holy Father a clarification comes. We know that the Holy Father in the past, even though his, you know, let's say his viewpoints are not so clear for us and to us, as we never know which interview we can trust or not or whatever. But if it comes to homosexual marriage, the Holy Father was actually quite clear in the past about homosexual marriage. I'm talking about the marriage. Because he said there is no marriage which is not a man and a woman marrying. And I'm of the same opinion. So what we really wanted from him was not only his attention. We really wanted from him to see that he sees that his interview, or let's say the interview people say he gave, we don't know any more details, that this it cannot be used by all the leftists and all the LGBT agenda fighter on the whole world to say that the Holy Father wants or does change the church's doctrine, which he cannot do at all. We know that. But still, so there was a huge fight going on. And I gave an interview saying, I read this, you know, Pope Francis embraces homosexuals. I read this from small subway newspapers to big to the biggest newspapers, from little internet blogs to huge journals and so on. So the whole world knows now that the Holy Father is in favor of same-sex civil unions.
Right.
And this is terrible. And it's used against the Catholic faith and against the Catholic Church. And this was the reason we were standing there. We were asking him, and we are still asking him, clarify the situation, go out to the cameras or to the microphones and tell them what the Catholic teaching on same-sex relationships in general is, on the whole topic. Tell them what the teaching is.
Yeah. And what's shocking about it is previously the Holy See, through the Congregation for the Doctrine of Faith, they actually have decreed on this topic. This happened recently, I mean, relatively recently, 2003. They said this. I'm going to share it on the screen so that people can read along with us here. But this is what the Congregation of the Doctrine of Faith stated. Quote, respect for homosexual persons cannot lead in any way to approval of homosexual behavior or to legal recognition of homosexual unions. End quote. So that is the previous teaching. And one of the things that's frustrating for Catholics, traditional Catholics like you and me, is we're reading what previous popes and previous curial statements have said about things. For example, this or women deacons and whatnot. And then now we're seeing that Francis, when it comes, or death penalty, he's coming out and he's changing the teachings. So we, doing maybe a Catholic apologetics, you know, we would cite this 2003 CDF statement saying, no, there can't be recognition of homosexual unions. And then 2020, Pope Francis directly contradicts it. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is just logic.
Yeah. So the problem is that if you, for example, go on and look at the 2003 document, it goes on saying, quote, legal recognition of homosexual unions or placing them on the same level as marriage would mean not only the approval of deviant behavior, the consequence of making it a model in present-day society, but would also obscure basic values which belong to the common inheritance of humanity. The church cannot fail to defend these values. And the document calls politicians' support of same-sex unions, quote, gravely immoral, end quote. So it is, what you say is completely right. It is, the problem is that this is not the first time this happened. Just go back in this pontificate's history. Look at Amoris Laetitia. Look at the divorced remarried and yes. The communion for them. The dubia, there is no answer to the dubia still up until today. Just imagine this. It's terrible. Then we have the Pachamama thing where we talk about it later because of the coins. Then we have the Abu Dhabi document where, thanks to Bishop Schneider, first the Pope said, no, that's not how he meant it. But then afterwards, he again stressed his point that he meant it actually like this. So this is really terrible. Then we have Fratelli Tutti, which is a brotherhood in humanity without Christ. This is, I want to be here very clear. This is really the Fratelli Tutti. It's Freemasonry diction. It's the same way Freemasonry documents are written. It is terrible. And of course, we find ourselves now in a very unpleasant situation. First of all, and that's exactly what I said in many interviews regarding our action on St. Peter's Square, our banner and everything. First of all, we as Catholics, we really try, and we tried in the past and still try, to see everything which is published in the light of tradition and faith and doctrine. So it's not like we would per se say that everything Pope Francis says is terrible. No, that's wrong, and that's a lie. And if people say so, that this is wrong, and I have to reject it. The problem is that even for leftists, even for LGBT agenda pushers and people like them, if you go through their blogs, you will see even leftists writing, this is what the polls seemed to say. Yeah. We don't really know. So not even them. Not even our enemies know it, which is very interesting, because and they even say publicly. So this is when cardinals of the church talk about the confusion which comes from these interviews and from those problems, then they are completely right. And I was asked, Alexander, we are not confused as by a faithful Catholic. I'm not confused. I know that this is terrible. It's just terrible. It's not the Catholic teaching. I said, yeah, that's true. Faithful people are not confused by that. A faithful knows what the teaching is. We know it's old. It's 2,000 years old and even older, especially if it comes to marriage. Marriage is in the first chapter of the Bible. The first chapter of Holy Scripture is the marriage inside. So, no, the confusion is not for the faithful. That's true. But for all the others, for the ones who have a weak faith, for the ones who have not faith at all, who do not have faith at all, for the people who are outside of the church, for the people who think about leaving the church or think about joining the church, it's terrible because what they hear is that's the Pope. Everything the Pope says is doctrinal, which is wrong. And this is now a new doctrine of the church, which is also wrong. So this is the main problem. And the only answer to that can be clarification, can be clarity, can be truth. I think it says, be a yes, how do you say it?
Let your yes be yes and your no be no.
That's it.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, second person Trinity.
Yes, and then we know how the quote continues. So this is something I think we really have to stress. It's about the truth, and nothing but the truth. And it's terrible to see that the Vicar of Christ, a historical title, I would we can read it in the Annuario Pontifico, but it's of course not a historical title. How he himself says things like this in interviews, and then just steps back and is quiet for days, so that leftists can use this to destroy. And if you allow me, I want just to say a few examples because many people don't know. The president of Venezuela, President Maduro, he said that he feels encouraged through the words of the Pope to introduce gay marriage in Venezuela. Father James Martin, the infamous Father James Martin, said this is a step towards LGBT people. And just to give you a picture, if you do a step, then there is no wall behind that. You want to do the next step.
Exactly.
So that is, what is the next step? It's of course it's gay marriage. I'm fighting in Germany, and especially in Germany because I was living there and we started the big action similar to the Manif pour tous movement in France against homosexual marriage, we started a thing called Demo für alle, so demonstration for everybody in Germany, where we asked the different parts of Germany, the states, not to introduce a gender ideology teaching plan and not to introduce gay marriage and things like this. And we know it since years. As soon as the gay civil union comes, gay marriage comes 10 years later or even earlier. Austria is the best example. We had it, I always forget when again gay civil union was introduced about 10 years ago. And since last year, we have gay marriage.
Yeah.
Of course, we do not have gay marriage because there is no such thing as gay marriage. But the state tells us there is such a thing. And this is terrible. And leads people away from God into hell. We have to say so.
Yes. I already heard there's a priest already this past few days who received a phone call from a homosexual couple who wanted to schedule a blessing for their civil union. And the priest said, we don't do that. And he said, well, you can't say that. The Pope just approved. If the Pope approves of civil unions and the Pope approves of it, then we want the church's blessing on our civil union. So you see that this doesn't stop. Just granting civil unions, A, it's against natural law and immoral. So just as the CDF said in 2003. But now they're not going to ever stop, right?
That's it.
Originally, we heard in America, well, we just want to have equality in America and hospital rights and insurance and all that. And then the next thing you know, if you don't bake a cake for them, you lose your business. And they're going to say, okay, we get civil unions. The Pope is in favor of civil unions. Then they're going to make the next step, which this homosexual couple did. And they're going to call the church and say, we want a marriage in the church, or at least a blessing in front of the people, our families. We want to bring our families and we want a blessing. What are you going to say then? Oh, I'm sorry, y'all are second class. They're not going to want to hear that. They're going to push, 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 push. And it's not just there's two problems here. I want people to hear both. It's the gradualism that they're going to push, push, push. And eventually they're going to push the state to make Catholicism illegal because their ministers will not bless these unions. That's one. And then the second issue is it is just immoral because you're giving legal recognition of an immoral situation. And it's never pastoral to do that, ever, ever.
It cannot be. It cannot be. And, you know, there's a quote, I think it comes from Lenin, but I don't know, who said the revolution is like a bicycle. If it stops, it falls over.
Mm.
And this is the problem. So this is a revolutionary act. And it is a revolutionary act because it is the next step, exactly what you said right now. I copied something out of a magazine. It's called, I think, wait a second, I have it here, America Magazine. It's from the Jesuits.
Yes.
It's from the Jesuits. And here they say, I quote, in addition to his several statements about civil unions, the Pope has taken a more welcoming approach to LGBT Catholics many times. Other examples include his famous statement, who am I to judge, on gay priests. His statement this year to a group of parents of LGBT children that God loves their children, and his reported statement to Juan Carlos Cruz, a gay man who is a survivor of sexual abuse, that God made him gay. So I want to, if you allow me, to just come to these points for a second. First of all, this homosexual man who say they have three children in their family, the Pope called them two times. One time he could not reach them, that's what they tell us. And the second time he told them, I could not reach you earlier, so what is your problem? And then they told them, well, we are so afraid because we are gay and we have three children. We want to go to the parish. And the Pope encouraged them and said, well, go to the parish. And now they are welcomed members of the parish. This is the story, the fairy tale story. Now the real story. Those two men did not have three children. They bought three children from a woman who rents out her womb. All of the three children. The children are innocent. The children are innocent, of course. They bought the children in child trafficking. We can call this child trafficking. It is woman trafficking. You pay them. I'm very angry on this topic because this is one of our main topics in Germany and Austria. If we do student education, that we always explain what is Leihmutterschaft is the German word. So what is it if a woman rents out her womb so that others can adopt a child afterward?
Right.
And just for you to know, these women who are, of course, terribly exploited, even though I think I have to say that, of course, the ones who do it out of free will also commit a grave sin here, but most of them do not do it out of free will, but just because they do not have any money and are used as half prostitutes or half this. They are only paid if the baby comes out alive. That's the so-called baby take-home rate. And healthy. And looking the way the parents wanted it to look. There are a few cases already. So this is the so-called baby take-home rate. The baby take-home rate is only a fifth of the children who are put into the womb. I don't know how the medical term is. So first of all, I do not know if the Holy Father knew that, I have to say. But it's in every newspaper. So in the newspapers, they all write about it, that this couple bought the children. So this is a grave sin connected with another grave sin, homosexuality. There's a German word, I do not know how to translate it, but homosexuality is not called a schwere Sünde, a grave sin. It's called a himmelschreiende Sünde, so a sin which screams to heaven.
Yes, that's what we call it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It's one of the sins that cry to heaven. We say.
Cry to heaven. Yeah. That's
which is so. Just so people know, there's venial sin, mortal sin, and then there are sins that cry to heaven. These are the worst sins.
And that's it. So first point, it's only this couple. Then the next thing, God makes you gay. This is the same problem we have with the Abu Dhabi Declaration. God does not make someone a Muslim. He does not make someone gay. This is nonsense. It's not that God does not create sin. That's terrible. That's terrible, and it's a very bad theology. Actually, I am not a theologian. I am not a philosopher. I talked to many different priests about this, and they all clapped their hands in front of the face and said, "This is terrible. What can I? What should I now preach to the people in my Sunday homily? What should I tell them?
Right.
What should I tell them? I want to be a Catholic. This is not possible anymore." So. This is terrible, and this is the second thing. And then the third thing, what I also quoted, it's about this "who am I to judge" phrase. Of course, we can also see this in the light of the Holy Scripture, and "who am I to judge," and so on. It's very nice, and we all love it, but that was not the case in this special point. He was asked about a moral issue, and we ask the Father, and we ask him politely, but we ask him very clearly, the answer to that of any priest of the world, of any bishop, and of course of the Holy Father, should be a very clear answer to the moral question and not a general "who am I to judge" answer. So this is my personal viewpoint, I have to say. But this is terrible, and it really is, for me, very hard to talk to the people about it, because I see that many people just lose completely hope and see that so, you know, you wrote your book Infiltration. Yeah, those are the fruits of the infiltration. Those are the fruits, and this is the problem. And I hope that the Holy Father will. We pray for him every day. Many people do that, and I hope that there will come the day where he will go out and speak about the one true faith, the one true doctrine, and therefore helps the people really to overcome the sin and go in direction heaven, you know, in the heaven's direction, not the opposite way. I'm sorry that I'm a little bit.
It's excellent. You know, it's excellent. Now, what do you say? There are the counter critics who are saying, "Oh, Taylor, Alexander, it's a mistranslation." See, that's the problem. Francis is 100% Orthodox, but then when they translate his words to the public, they use the wrong translation. So he didn't say civil union. He said civil coexistence.
Okay.
I think the Latin is convivencia, yeah. Convivencia civil, which is like a co-living or coexistence. It's actually more like, I think, co-living than it is coexistence. What would be your response to the people who say that we and Vigano and Schneider were all, we're all a bunch of nutcase extremists and conspiracy theorists that obviously the Pope didn't say civil unions?
Okay, first of all, I have to say that there was already a bishop clarifying that this is untrue And that the phrase used is exactly the phrase used in South America to describe civil unions. So that's my first answer. The second answer is that this is exactly why we wrote a banner asking the Holy Father for clarity. Mm-hmm. Because this is something which could easily be put away and put out of the world if the Holy Father just explains what exactly he said back then. The problem is that we should not be how you call someone who translates, who's a dolmetscher, we say. So we should not be the ones sitting every day in front of the newspaper and going through the text of the interviews of the Holy Father as if they would be a foreign language. And then, right. Oh, well, this word could mean that and this word. No. The Catholic faith is the faith of truth. It's the faith of clarity. It's the faith of yes is a yes and no is a no. This is the faith. And second of all, there's another saying, which is by their fruits you shall know them. So if I use this phrase now on what happened here, the fruits are that on the whole world, people abroad this step, and we just have to look at which people abroad this step. The leftists, the LGBT right. people, the communists, the socialists, the one who hates the faith, the one who talk bad about the faith every day sometimes, and the ones within the church, we all know what they are standing for. I can give you one example. I don't want to go too much on Father James Martin, because I don't want to give him any space in my life, actually, and I normally don't do, but here he's a good example. He wrote on Twitter, Francis, as a quote, Francis is expressing his support for, depending on the translations, some sort of legal protections for same-sex couples in civil law. Almost totally overlooked, the documentary Francesco looks at his warm relationships with LGBT individuals, like Mr. Gruss, for example. This may be the first time that many people are hearing about this pastoral outreach. It has been expressed by the Pope before in other ways, interviews, homilies, books, press conferences, etc., but not broadcast or known as widely as yesterday. So, hello.
Hello. I see you again. Good. Hopefully we are live. Yes, looks like we are live again. I apologize, everyone. Here's Alexander's back. Okay, I don't know what happened there. And then every time I tried to call.
Yes, it just didn't work somehow. I don't know, it's on my Skype because my internet was working all the time, but I think it may be that Satan doesn't like...
He doesn't like us talking about these things, the coexistence. Yes, you know, I was going to... I don't know where we broke off exactly there, but, you know, they're saying that this word means coexistence, not civil unions, but... If you look at the word in Spanish, it actually means vivencia is living, co-living together, cohabitation. I really don't see how translating the word makes it into a different concept. In fact, it almost seems worse to me.
Exactly. And then we know from the Holy Father that he already back then, as an Archbishop of Buenos Aires, he expressed his views on that. Actually, unfortunately, not very... Not in the way I would love it, but okay, it's not about me. So this is the problem here is that we can turn it in any way we want it. It is still the same. Mm-hmm. Still the same. It is a problem and it's not good and it pushes people away from the faith and the one true doctrine. That's it. So I have to say the action was very successful. I'm very happy that we did it, and especially on Twitter, I saw that there was a big discussion going on between different people. There is a man, I think his name is Professor Fagioli. He's quite interesting
yes,
to look
at. Yes,
he's not. I would not say that he's on the same football team as I am. But Professor Fagioli, he just said, "You're idiots." That's it. So it's very interesting to see the people defending this chaos, they cannot do anything else anymore than just shout at us and scream at us, because we are not the ones changing what we say every day. We don't. We are asking for clarity since the beginning of this pontificate, since the who am I to judge, since the families with many children are like rabbits, quote, and things like this.
Right.
This is terrible. We want clarity, and I think... We as faithful, we can ask the Pope for clarity, and we should ask the Pope for clarity, and pray every day that he answers our requests and gives us clarity.
And we saw this coming when you go back to the Dubia and Amoris Laetitia. It states there, I mean, if you follow the footnotes and all that, that you have a straight man and a straight woman who have civilly, keyword, civilly divorced and, keyword, civilly remarried outside of the church. With pastoral accompaniment, they are allowed to go to confession without confessing that sin, which traditionally in moral theology would make the confession invalid, and receive the Holy Eucharist. And I said this 2 years ago. I said, this is where the LMNOP-LGBT agenda is going to bury into. Because all they have to say is, well, why do civilly married but not church married, why do civilly married heterosexuals get to come and receive Eucharist and all that? Why can't civilly married homosexuals receive all the same? And it's obvious that these two things are linked together. And that footnote and that little wormhole, that little mouse hole in Amoris Laetitia has opened up to this, and they're going to continue to stretch it wider and wider until the elephants and everybody marches through.
That's it. And so we have to say that we as Catholics now have to fight against this. And how can we do so? That's the question. That's a big question. Well, the first thing is that we really have to know our faith. Mm-hmm. We really have to know it. And if we know it, and if we're stable, then this whole confusion does not come into our minds. I what I said before, you know, since half a year, we do rosary procession month in Vienna. And the rosary processions, there are a few, let's say, 100 people coming, sometimes a little bit more, sometimes less. It's not too many, as it is not very, let's say, en vogue, you would say in French, I think. It's not cool to join us. So, but we do it. And if I talk to the people there, nobody of them is confused. They all know the church teaching. They all know it. And so for them, they just know, oh, it's terrible. Let's fight against it. So you see that the seed of chaos does not come up among the faithful. Among the faithful, it's just going down. So what does this mean for us? It means for us that we have to maintain, first of all, our personal faith, but also, second of all, and this is what I want to ask of every Catholic, and I think you do it in every show you do, you have to fight, you have to be against it, you have to be the one fighting for the one true faith, you have to say out loud if things happen which are not Catholic, that they are wrong. Yes. Why is that? Because if you are a person like the many others in society, nobody cares. We want to go into heaven. And in heaven, this is a society which should like us, the society of saints, the society of Mary the Queen reigning over all of us in heaven, Christ the King reigning there, God Father, the Holy Spirit. Those are the ones we want to be together with. Those are the ones who should like us. And they will never like us if we do not fight for the one true faith. That's so easy. So actually, even though it's terrible and the times are confusing, we could say, we could also, as you can imagine, talk about 10 hours about the COVID Wuhan crisis. We could talk 10 hours about the US election. We could talk 10 hours about the immigration crisis in Europe and so on and so forth. But that's not the main point. The main point is the faith right now. If you do not fight for the faith, and that's what we all should do right now, then you won't stand a chance. You won't stand a chance. Why won't you stand a chance? Not because of the other ones stand embracing you, etc. If you're a Catholic, the world will never embrace you for your faith. But if you do not fight for it, then you will suddenly lose the possibility but you will lose the ability to fight back in your mind, in your soul, and with your heart. That's it. If you don't fight, it's a very nice example. If you have a house and the house next to your house is burning, then you have to try to extinguish the fire at the house next to you. You cannot wait at your house with a fire extinguisher and say, well, as soon as my house burns, I'm going to extinguish this. No, that's too late. Your house is already burning then. So don't let your house get burned down. Defend it. And that's especially a call for all the men out there.
Yes. Yes.
Fight for it and defend your family and defend your family values. Defend Christ the Lord.
Yes.
He is the king. He already won. Be on his side. That's a very easy answer, actually. Not confusing at all.
And think about what you gain. If we, by God's grace, cooperate with God, the reward is he looks at us in the eyes and us into his eyes, and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. The other option is, depart from me, I never knew you. I want to choose A and not B by God's grace. I'm not saying by my own power I could ever get there, and I have a long way to go. But in humility, we need to ask God for the graces that we finish the finish line. And Christ says to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom I have prepared for you. Now, along this this idea of fighting and striving is idolatry in the church. The priest on Sunday, I heard a priest on Sunday say Francis is the worst pope, in his opinion. And my kids asked me about it. And I said, well, he goes, well, haven't there been a lot of popes? One of my teenage sons, haven't there been a lot of bad popes? I said, yeah. And I said, the difference is this pope has taught things that are contrary to previous popes, but also this pope has placed an idol inside a Catholic church. And as far as I know, maybe Pope Marcellinus, maybe, there's all these different traditions and legends, maybe offered a pinch of incense during a persecution to an idol, maybe. St. Augustine disputes that story. But here we have an actual idol placed in the church. I'm going to place see if this is the right picture. Yeah, here's the picture of Pope Francis. Alex, you can't see it, but this is Pope Francis and some cardinals and bishop, and they have a boat in St. Peter's in front of the altar of St. Peter's in front of the Baldacchino. Is that the right word? Yeah. And there's the Pachamama idol right there, and there were liturgical processions and all kinds of horrible things going on in Rome. And as you know, Alexander Chugwo and his colleague cast those idols out of the church of Santa Maria Traspotina. And just when we thought that that was over, the Pope issues these new coins. And I think the date, I reported it, was October 13th. These Mother Earth coins, I'll put them up on the screen here. Here's one of them. It's a young girl. Not everybody's even commented on that. This looks like a young girl, which is a little bit objectionable. Teenage girl, wheat hair, and Earth is in her belly. Not a baby, but planet Earth, which is the whole idea of Mother Earth. And I talked about in ancient Rome, there was the cult of Mother Earth, and her priests, I don't know if you saw that show, Alexander, the priests of Mother Earth were called Galli, and they were they were self-neutered, castrated priests who wore makeup and pranced around like girls. They were men who wanted to be women in association with the Mother Earth goddess. And St. Augustine himself describes this disgusting, inverted and perverted priesthood of Mother Earth. I fear that this is where this is going. Your thoughts, Alexander?
Yes. My really first thought was Judas, so Jude, mm-hmm. got 30 silver coins
mm-hmm.
for betraying the Lord. And if I would not know better in that case, I could believe that those images were on the coins back then. So it is a scandal. It's a huge scandal. It's a shame. It's a shame. And we have to say so. Because first of all, the whole Pachamama thing, and we talked about it so often right now, and I think all your viewers and all the ones who follow what I do normally, they already know what the whole Pachamama thing was about. Yes. And how and why it is terrible. What we agreed on before is that the Holy Father did not clarify anything regarding to the Dubium, to the Amoris Laetitia question. Also not to Abu Dhabi and also not to Pachamama. Here you see it. The Pachamama was a beginning. It was a beginning, and now it's nourished every year through other things. What maybe some of the people who watch this show right now don't know, I don't know, is that there was this meeting scheduled, as you remember, in the Vatican with the UN together about connecting education, which was then, because of COVID, postponed. And now it should take place somewhere now, but maybe it's postponed again. Let's see. And
let me repeat that, because it broke up a little bit, Alexander. I want to make sure people heard it, but you said, and it broke up, and I know what you're talking about, there was an education meeting to be held at the Vatican. That was supposed to be in May, wasn't it?
13th and 14th of May.
The Feast of Our Lady of Fatima.
Yes.
In case people are watching the dates, I almost feel like Francis and the Vatican are trolling us. They're like, okay, let's put all of these things on Marian feast days, Fatima days, Miracle of the Sun. It's uncanny. It's either trolling us or it's subtly demonic, is my opinion on this.
Yeah. Let's wait what's going to happen on the 8th of December.
Right, exactly.
I just, without knowing anything, but let's see. Yes, so the problem here is, as you said it before, the little hole was opened and then it got bigger and bigger regarding the gay thing, the homosexual thing. And now you have the same if it comes to the one world globalist, integralist, whatever pagan nonsense, where it says that in order to create, that sounds a little bit conspiracy theorist, but you will see that it's not a conspiracy theory. In order to create a one world order, you need the people. You need the people from all over the world to unite. And this is what the communists also did. The communists did it by saying those are the enemies, and the enemies were the ones who have money. You know, very important to remark, only the ones who have money who are not communists, of course. Those are the enemies, and the Catholic Church and so on. Right. And all the others could gather. It was not important which of if you're black or white or whatever. You could also gather because the common enemy was the same. And now it's very interesting, and you are right, this is diabolic. The problem is that the people now also should gather, that's what the globalists want, behind Mother Earth. And now is the question, and who is the enemy of Mother Earth? Who is the ones? And if you follow closely the Fridays for Future movement, the Extinction Rebellion movement, the UN movement itself, the World Health Organization's texts, then you will find out humanity is the enemy. We are the enemy.
Yeah, we're the cancer growing on the globe. To them.
Yes, we are. That's how they call us. They call us too many children. That's what many famous philanthropists often say. There are too many children in the world. Extinction Rebellion says this exactly. Then Fridays for Future said no children for future. It was one of the perils they shouted in the streets. So that's it. That's a diabolic thing. Because what is the best? Okay, well, I don't want to go too much into details because it's an ugly topic, but what is the best that can happen to Satan? First of all, if people do not go to heaven, but die in a state of grave sin. So that's what he wants, because he cannot create his own kingdom. It's not possible.
Right.
It's not possible. He's not going to create his own kingdom. And so he wants as many people as possible not to be part of the one kingdom, which already exists, the kingdom of God, first of all. Second of all, how can he do that? Let's say, keeping us in a state of moral destruction, as a moral, completely moral everything. So everything is terrible and moral badness. I cannot really, there's a word for it I have in my mind, but I cannot translate it right now. And second of all, killing us in this state, actually, or at least asking us to kill others in that state so that it gets worse and worse. So this is exactly what happened. And this is all done under the name globalism, integralism, climate change. I'm not talking about caring for the environment. This is a completely different topic, a very Catholic one.
Right. We're all in favor of keeping the rivers clean and keeping the forests clean and throwing away trash in the proper places and all that. Yeah.
And every civilized person is.
Yes.
So we have those things, and it is the climate change agenda, is the political aspect, and Pachamama, Mother Earth, is the religious aspect of it. This, we have to see it. So now to come to my conclusion, to end this from my side, my long statement, you always need both parts. The communists, for example, also had a kind of religious part. It was very anti-religious. Mm-hmm. They said, religion is anti-religion,
right?
And they had a political part, and now here they go to a next level. They say our religion is a kind of esoterical, everyone can join, happy, clappy, whatever you want religion. The only thing you have to understand is that there is a spiritual aspect of Mother Earth. You are the ones causing problems. You have to repent. You have to come now, and you have to you kind of go to globalist confession. Your globalist confession is the CO2 footprint or whatever.
Right, that's your penance.
That's your penance. And as soon as you recognize that you are bad, just throw away your car. Yeah. Be an individual.
Don't have children.
No children, no family around you, no bigger groups around you. Be an individual. Be a stupid individual. That's the easiest way for us to control you. That's it. And so this is, I think, definitely part of that plan. And that's the reason why you see also that this Mother Earth picture on the Vatican coin, it's really the globe. You see the different countries and so on.
Yeah.
It is diabolic.
Yes.
We can say so.
Yes.
What we do not know, actually, so this is another thing where we should ask the Pope, is whether he said, I accept the coin, or whether he said, I want that coin, or whether he said, I don't know anything about the coin. I don't know. Maybe you know something, but I didn't hear any interview of him. So still, it's happening under his reign as a Pope, and he could easily forbid it, and he could easily clarify it, and he does not do it. Mm. Instead, people can now buy for, I think, 69 euros, can buy those coins. And I tell you, if you buy those coins and you don't throw them into rivers, if you buy those coins, really use them, I think I would say that this is anti-Catholic. I think it's anti-Catholic.
If you buy some of these coins, you might as well buy 30 silver coins and have yourself buried with them, because it's not good.
That's it.
If I could add one thing to that, agree with everything you said, Alexander, but one of the religious aspects of this Mother Earth cult and eco-theology. So in Catholicism, we were placed on this earth and we were tested, Adam and Eve. They fell, original sin. That lack of grace and justice extended to all human persons except for Jesus Christ and our Blessed Mother. The rest of us are infected with original sin and concupiscence. And so Christ dies on the cross and sheds his blood to redeem us and buy us back and purchase us because of our sins. The eco-theology, we are the saviors, and Mother Earth is the victim, and we must save her. We have sinned against her. We are hurting her. We are infecting her. Pope Francis even has some of this language in, which document is it? Can't remember, but there's also one line also in Fratelli Tutti. We are the heroes and the redeemers of Mother Earth. And so there's a complete inversion in which we become redeemers and saviors instead of being the redeemed and the saved by Jesus Christ. It's a complete inversion, and that is paganism. That is paganism. And we cannot, as Catholics, assent to it. We must be ready to be persecuted. We must be ready to be martyred by God's grace, not by our own power, not by our own nature, but by God's grace, to resist even to bloodshed, because this is antithetical to Catholicism. It is not Christianity. It is not the gospel of Jesus. And St. Paul says in Galatians, if anyone preaches to you another gospel, even an angel from heaven, he says, let him be anathema. And the Greek word in Galatians is anathema, cursed, set aside, burnt up, anathema. So we cannot accept this gospel. Now, I want to ask you a question, because we both get it a lot, Alexander. People say, oh, Alexander did this to get famous. He did it to get rich. Marshall gave him some money to fly to Rome. He wanted to get rich. There was a big get-rich scheme, you know, and they did it for the wrong reasons and all that. We've kind of spoken about it before, but I would want to address that, because you do see it sometimes. Or that we were involved in international theft. I think that should be addressed as well. So is there something that you'd like to say about that?
Yeah, very easy. Come visit me in Vienna and look at all my richness. I don't have any. it's very easy. Come visit me in Vienna. We go for a coffee. And then out of my insanely rich amount of money, I will invite you for a small coffee. So that's just not true. And everyone who knows me and everyone who's here would not say so. But I want to answer that, because of course I see those comments sometimes. It's very interesting. When we talked about this and we agreed on telling the people that we actually got to know each other before the Pachamama incident and we're discussing the whole thing, and you were helping with planning it, and yes, and helping me also with the flights and everything, that's what we had. It's very interesting that the people immediately used that to make up a kind of conspiracy theory that there must be some financial interest behind it. And well, I cannot blame them too much, because that's exactly what they find out in anything happening nowadays. Kalia Becciu, for example, 700,000 euros, they say, it's not, he's not paying for this, were sent to Australia to bribe witnesses against Cardinal Pell, whom, by the way, I met after the action on St. Peter's Square. He passed us and I talked to him for only two sentences. Yes. It was great for me to see him as a free man walking the streets of Rome. They see the whole Vatican Bank scandals. They see the whole Order of Malta, for example, financial scandals. They see the McCarrick scandals. They see all that money. It is, for a normal human being, not imaginable anymore that something happens without any financial interest behind it. And so I think we will have to live with this way of people talking about this for quite a longer time. But we can answer those people and tell them, see for yourself. See for yourself. If I would really want to do something for the money, believe me, I would not and never in my life go to another city and take a pagan idol out of a church and throw it to the river. You know, I'm an Austrian. I'm still quite young. I can speak more than one language, etc. Believe me, I can find easier ways to earn money than by doing this, first of all. Second of all, about the thing that I wanted to get famous with it. You know it very well because we talked about it earlier. I was not even sure if I even put out my face after the Pachamama incident. I only did it out of one reason. This reason, I think, is a good reason. Everyone will understand it. Other people were claiming that they did it and explained why they did it. And their explanations were very wrong. That was the reason. Crazy people. They explained what they want to do, that they want to show this and that and this and that. And this is wrong. We are fighters for truth. And if you fight for the truth, you have to be the one standing up for your own action. So as soon as I saw that my action is used in another way as intended, I had to stand up. I had to show my face and I had to tell the people, no, that's wrong. This is the reason we did it. This is exactly the reason. So I think you all can understand this. And Taylor, by the way, I can also say, if I followed the ones who say this about the action, about the Pachamama, about me, and of course about you too, go on their profiles, watch what else they are posting. It is a problem. It is a problem. It's not something I think we should take too serious on a personal level. But on a common level, we have to take it serious, because it is a common problem that the people cannot trust anyone anymore. It might seem that you also cannot trust me. It might seem that you also cannot trust different. But then look at what they do, look at their work, look at the fruits. And I hope that you will always see that I can only talk for me right now, but I think Taylor will agree on that, that we could really do other things in our life which are easier and way more accepted with society. We do that because we want to fight for the one true faith. We want to follow Christ, our Lord. We want to follow Christ, the King. We want to be under the protection of the Mother of God, the Holy Mother of God. That's the reason we fight. If you think that this is not the reason we fight, please go ahead, visit me in Vienna. I'm only always open for a coffee. Talk to me on a personal level. Write me an email. You will always see that my answers will never be different to that. And if you want to know how much money I earn, believe me, I can earn more if I would not do that. And I could earn easier money if I would do something different. Yeah. But I know that this is a problem. So thank you for putting it up. I hope that this is a good explanation. Mm-hmm. The money question is always a very ugly question. You know, I founded the St. Boniface Institute out of that reason, actually. I founded the St. Boniface Institute so that the people, if they want to support me, do not support me as a person. I founded the Institute so that they support the cause. And even though our Boniface Institute within the last 6 months was not very public with many things, That's only because of the corona crisis. Because of the corona crisis, many things we do, we cannot put them online. We cannot talk about them in public. That's really a problem. But believe me, our institute's work is really a very Catholic one. And if you come to Vienna right now, today, we had a rosary procession of the institute. It's beautiful. Join us and see for yourself.
Good. Good. And from day one, too, I never asked for one penny or one dime for anyone on any of this. And when we did talk about it, I said, hey, donate to St. Boniface Institute. I'm not on the board. I'm not involved. I'm not in that thing at all. Like I said before, we need traditional Catholic voices in Europe. There are many in America. We have LifeSight. There's Church Militant. There's Remnant. There's myself. There's all kinds of things going on over here. We need that same kind of voice going on in Europe. And that's why I've always said, hey, let's help out St. Boniface Institute and the things Alexander's doing. So, yeah, and also people need to realize it, being on the far-right spear tip fringe of traditional Latin Mass and Catholicism is not the profiteering place to be. There are many other places within the church in which you can get all kinds of financial rewards. This right here is really not it. And if you want to know where it is, you can look around and pretty much figure that out. But being on the stressful tip of the spear is not too rewarding, as we know. So, and I've said to many people when we talk about this, I just say, you know, fundamentally, because I was with Alexander right when the patches were revealed, fundamentally, we thought to ourselves, there are idols in a church. And whatever it takes to get them out, we're going to get them out. And even to this day, I rub my head, and I'm not saying this to brag on you, Alexander, but why did an Austrian have to fly into Rome? Why didn't a cardinal? Why didn't a priest? Why didn't a deacon or a monk who has nothing to lose? Why wasn't he the one that went in and burned them or threw them out? And people, of course, criticize you. I said, oh, you should have burned them. You should have broken them with the baseball bat first. You should have done this. You should have done that. Look, this thing was put together on a shoestring, last minute, all kinds of moving parts. Just can we get it done and just get it out? And that's what happened. So I salute Alexander and taking that risk. And it was a great day in Christendom and a lot of rejoicing to see that these idols were removed by Alexander. And it was interesting to see the Pope later apologize, not for having the idols, but apologize that they were thrown into the river. That was another just sort of kick in the gut.
Yeah, it was. Well, so right now I wanted to ask you something because I know that I'm the interview guest today, but you are on the board of Catholics for Trump, aren't you? And now the last 9 days are up until the election and everything. So if you allowed me, I would like to ask one question, one big question. When you set up this whole board for Catholics for Trump, did you say that there is one certain saint, is it, of course, Mary, the Queen of Heaven, but is there a certain saint of America which you normally ask for his aid and for his prayers to God? Is there a certain saint? Because right now we start the prayer action for the last 9 days of a novena. And on the day of the election itself, we will do a rosary procession for Vienna. We start from the cathedral and we'll go to a church dedicated to whatever saint the Catholics in America would like us to ask for help.
It's a great question. The answer is Our Lady, the Immaculate Conception. The patroness of United States is the Immaculate Conception. And I don't know how far that goes back. Of course, the dogma was only proclaimed in the 1800s, but we're a new nation, so we don't have all the saints that Austria has or France or Italy or Armenia or all these ancient, you know, Christian civilization. We're a new one, so we don't have as many saints, but the Immaculate Conception is our patroness. And I want to ask you, Alexander, I think it's very interesting that so many Europeans, and then, you know, your experience in Austria, are praying for President Trump. Why? I know why, but tell everyone watching, why do y'all care whether or not President Trump wins this election? What's in it for you?
For us, let's first answer with the opposite. What if Joe Biden wins the election? Mm-hmm. What if international money, millions to abortion industry come back? What if the climate, you know, the climate plan where President Trump went out to plan climate contract comes back? What if the help for the WHO, for the World Health Organization, comes back? What if the pro-UN, pro-globalist cause comes back? This is, we live in fragile countries. We live in countries like Austria or other European countries are terrorized by leftist agenda, by globalist agenda every day. We have resistance here. We have good resistance, and the resistance will be stronger. But President Trump, if he could get a second term, this is now my personal opinion on that, I think can give us another 4 years of having it a little bit easier to fight, having someone on our side a little bit. I know that President Trump is not on our side on every certain topic, right, as a Catholic, but that's not the question. He is on us in the most important topic. He is on our side if it comes to the rights of our countries. He is on our side if it comes to anti-globalist agenda.
Yes.
And this is what we want. On our side if it comes to fight against the mainstream media, so for the free speech in a good way, I think now in a conservative way. So if he wins this election, it gives us time, and that's the reason we care. And second of all, for us, it's just great if Washington, President Trump, gives a speech and tells the people why he's against abortion and says he's against abortion because of God.
Yes.
And shows to God.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, let's pray. Like you said, we're 9 days out. It's a great time to do a novena. You know, novena means 9 days. It's a 9-day prayer. It marks,
yes,
the time between the ascension of Jesus Christ and then the 9 days to the Feast of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came down on Our Lady and the apostles. So we'll pray the rosary every day, but there are novenas out there. There's,
yes,
the novena to the Immaculate Conception. We could pray that one. I think the best thing is to, of course, pray the rosary every day. Maybe bump it up and do 15 decades for 9 days.
That's a good idea. What we did is we did little leaflets. They are now in German, but I just can't print it out right now. So we send around the text so that people can print it out. And this novena is called Novena for an election ergebnis, result for a result agreeable to God, the U.S. presidential election. That's what the novena is. You see, today is the national holiday in Austria, so it was a good way to start it. We pray for our country today. So we said today we pray for our country. We ask all the saints of Austria to pray for our country and the United States today in a big prayer. It was very nice. And then we say that I cannot translate everything. It's in old German. But we say through the precious blood of Jesus Christ himself, we ask him that he may hear our prayers. And we ask him in his name, that's what we say, for the United States of America and the American people, that he hears the prayer. And so that he rejects all, how do you say, it's a very difficult, the old words, of course, all the dangers and all the problems, to push them away and to give to the U.S. people a president agreeable to God, a president who, in the eyes of God, does more for the will of God than, you know, his opponent would do. And then it's Our Father, a Hail Mary, and Gloria Patri in addition. So we do this. And of course, I told everyone, please pray all the other prayers you do every day also for this. So this is our approach. Next week, then we will do, we have lots of churches of the Immaculate Conception in Vienna. So we will do a rosary procession from the Cathedral of Vienna to one of those churches. We will pray for you and for the Americans. And then we will sit with a big bunch of beer in front of the TV and hope that there will be a good outcome, even though we know that through the whole voting system right now and through so many people voting via letter, I think, I don't know how you call it, yes, I know that we might not even know definitely who's the president at the end of this day, but we will go through the night, we will pray through the night, and I hope that this will be a success. And it is now, I think, a matter for every Christian in the whole world to pray for this issue, because you cannot separate politics and faith. That's modernist. Modernists do that.
It is Catholics heresy.
Don't. It's a heresy. Catholics don't.
Catholics don't. Ave Maria, praise God. Well, thank you for praying for all of us Americans. And we, of course, support everything you're doing. You know, America couldn't be who we are without the European heritage that was developed and crafted over so many centuries in Christendom over in Europe. So we thank you as well. So should we pray our Ave Maria? Close it up?
Yes, please.
All right, let's do it. Oremus. And we'll pray for President Trump and for the election, asking Our Lady, the Immaculate Conception. Oremus. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus.
Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostre. Amen.
Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto.
Sicut erat in principio et nunc et semper et in saecula saeculorum. Amen.
Amen. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Well, Alexander Chigwell, thank you so much for being with us. Thank you for calling the Holy Father and the Holy See for clarification on civil marriages. I don't think we're going to see it. I think he's already made his clarification by choosing men like James Martin to represent him in the Dicastery for Communications, etc. But we are called by Christ to carry this cross and to continue to teach the truth and continue to ask for clarification whether we receive it or not. So thank you so much for coming on.
No, thank you very much for the invitation. I'm very happy to see that you all keep out your fight in the United States. And believe me, without the support from the United States, our European heritage a little bit weak it is right now. Because through you, our heritage lives on too. As Europeans, the idea that they should now start living their heritage stronger. Yeah. So it's very interesting. It's a win-win situation for both sides.
Good.
And for the one side.
That's right. Well, everybody, make sure you pray that rosary every single day. If you don't pray the rosary, you're not on the team. You must pray those beads, rattle the beads. That is your chain to heaven. So pray the rosary every single day. You're not on the team. If you like this video, please hit the like button. I'm sorry that we had some technical difficulties along the way, but the Holy Ghost preserved us. And also, please share this video. Because we're talking about civil unions, YouTube is going to punish this video. It's guaranteed. Twitter's going to punish this topic. So we need you to share it. So please hit the share button and share it on Facebook and Twitter. And if you're new here on YouTube, please subscribe and hit the notification bell. Go check out St. Boniface Institute. The website is, Alexander?
www.boniface-institute.com. And please pray for us right now, because we are facing maybe that the Christmas masses will be again half locked up, and so we have to organize ways so that the people can receive Holy Communion in a worthy way, not on the hands but on the tongue, as Catholics should do.
Not on saucers.
No. On the tongue directly.
On the tongue. Christ, on the knees.
Not giving you any disease. He is the healing one. He heals us. He heals us and everyone. Thank you, Taylor, again.
Thank you. All right. Remember, everyone, our Lord Jesus Christ said you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. Alexander, God bless and Godspeed. Till tomorrow. God bless.